It is the appointed hour of 9:30. I will call the meeting to order. Commissioners Fegan and Hansen are present in the committee room with Chairman Nelson. Is there a motion to approve the minutes of the ad hoc meeting from October 2nd and the commission meeting from October 9th?
Mr. Chairman, so moved.
Discussion on the motion. Seeing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Commissioner Fegan votes aye.
And Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. Consumer reports. Deb Gregg.
Thank you, Chairman Nelson. The commission received a total of 92 contacts since the last report was prepared for the October 9th, 2012 commission meeting. 25 of the contacts involved telecommunication service. 24 of the contacts involved electric service. 5 contacts involved natural gas service. 7 contacts involved cell phone service. 13 contacts related to the Do Not Call registry. 1 contact was related to the Keystone XL pipeline. 1 contact was related to wind energy, and 16 contacts related to issues not regulated by the PUC. 1,530 of the 1,577 complaints received in 2012 have been resolved.
Very good. Questions? Seeing none, thank you, Deb. We will move into our dockets. We're going to begin with EL 12-056 in the matter of the joint request of service rights exception between Grand Electric Cooperative and West River Electric Association. Jerry, do you want to present this, or do you want us to go directly to staff?
Going to staff would be fine with me, Mr. Commissioner.
Thank you. Matthew.
I think Kristen's going to take this one this morning, Chairman.
Wow, it's going to take me 3 strikes to find the right person. Kristen.
Thank you. Kristen Edwards for staff. The agreement would avoid unnecessary duplication of facilities in the area. It would also promote the efficient and economic use and development of the electrical systems of the contracting utilities, particularly given that West River has the opportunity to purchase back the facilities at the market cost in the future if they so choose. Staff respectfully suggests that the commission approve the requested service rights exception.
Thank you. Jerry, anything to add to that?
No, other than it would be grand, Mr. Chairman, that would have the opportunity to purchase the facilities. West River has facilities much closer than we do at this time, and it will provide benefit to the member and assure that we have no duplication of facilities out in that rural area.
Thank you. Dave, anything to add?
No. I'm okay. In agreement with what Jerry said there.
Very good. Questions from the commission? Seeing none, is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, in EL 12-056, move to approve the requested service rights exception.
Discussion on the motion.
And I certainly appreciate the two cooperatives working together to make sure our member doesn't have an extraordinary high cost of service. So thank you so much for working together and making it simple for not only the commission but for the member.
Other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. Moving to GE 12-004 in the matter of the filing by Montana Dakota Utilities for approval of tariff revisions. Tammy.
Chairman, Commissioners, this is Tammy Eberle with Montana Dakota Utilities, and we are requesting, unfortunately, that you reopen docket number GE 12-004 in order to revise the effective date of the tariff sheets reflecting the company's new bill format that were approved by the commission in its order dated August 6, 2012. The new bill format presented was scheduled to be implemented at the time of conversion to our new customer information system, which originally was scheduled to occur in October of this year, this month. However, we were not able to complete all testing required to implement the system by October 1. While the new customer information system will be ready for service by year end, we will not be implementing the system for billing purposes until February 1, 2013, because of some audit requirements. Because of this delay, we request that the Commission reinstate the previously effective tariff pages that we submitted in this docket until February 1, 2013, when we will implement the new billing system. And we will advise the Commission prior to that date to be sure that we get the new tariff sheets with a new bill format effective and available for customers at that time. Thank you.
Thank you. Staff.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairman. The only thing I would add is that we're trying to do this all in one fell swoop here. Just put the old tariff sheets back into effect until February 1st and then not require a further approval at that time. We would just approve the new sheets to go into effect February 1st, 2013.
Very good. Thanks, Dave. Questions from the Commission? Is there a motion?
Is it necessary to stipulate the which sections? I'm contemplating making a motion that the I'll make the motion and then change it if necessary. I moved that in GE 12-004 that the Commission allow the prior tariffs to be reinstated on less than 30 days notice until February 1st, 2013, at which time the tariffs approved on July 31st, 2012 will become effective. Now, do I need to stipulate Section 6, First Revised Sheet 4, et cetera?
I don't think so.
All right.
No, I think the filing is clear as to what those are.
All right.
The particular sheets. There was one change that was done back then that will remain in effect, I think. Is that correct, Tammy, on the...
That is correct.
But that doesn't deal with the bill form issue. That was on a different matter.
That is correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That's my motion then.
Discussion on the motion. I would simply say I give great credit to the company for taking the time to do adequate and thorough testing of your new software. That obviously trumps any urgency for getting these in place, and so good decision on your part. Other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan?
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. TC 12-108, in the matter of the filing of Long Lines Metro LLC for approval of revisions to its tariff number 3. Dave or Karen?
Is there a company rep on the line?
I believe Wendy is on the line.
Yes, this is Wendy Harper with Vantage Point. I can just take a brief overview of this docket. Long Lines Metro filed their revisions to the tariff on July 2nd of 2012 to update the tariff, including a name change as well as the FCC order implementation for the rate step-down. We have responded to staff data requests and have changed some minor verbiage within the tariff as requested, and as well filed the waiver for the difference in the originating and terminating switched access rates. We do a request approval as currently filed. And I am here for questions.
Thank you. Okay, now staff.
Thank you, Chairman. This is a transitional rate filing, and the entire tariff was resubmitted for approval. We went through it and made several changes to some of the verbiage in the tariff. We would recommend approval of the rate and the tariff with the waiver of 2010, 29, 10, 12, and 16, with those parts that state the per minute charge is equal for both originating and terminating traffic. And that's all I use.
Thank you. Questions from the Commission? Seeing none, is there a motion? I will move in TC 12-108 that the Commission approve Long Lines revisions to its tariff number 3 and grant the requested waivers. Discussion on the motion. Seeing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
Fegan?
Fegan votes aye.
And Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. TC-12-133 in the matter of the petition of Mid-State Telecom for approval of its cost-based switched access rates and for a phase-in. And we've got a number of questions, some standard questions, and also a request for intervention. Ms. Van Camp, do you want to make a case or... Darla.
Mr. Chair, members of the Commission, my name is Darla Pullman Rogers, and I represent Mid-State Telecom. If we want to perhaps look at the last question first, which
yes.
is intervention, Mid-State Telecom does not object to or oppose the intervention petition of AT&T.
Thank you. And just make sure, Bill, you're okay. Okay. Do you have any comment on any of the rest of it?
I would just comment that I understand that you certainly have the authority to assess a filing fee not to exceed $100,000. I have, I guess, a little bit of heartburn about continued assessments against this company. I don't see this docket as having to reinvent the wheel. I'm a little mystified even as to why we need the $1,000 at this time. But again, I understand that you do have the authority to do that. I'm just concerned about, you know, where we're going in this case, because it seems like we've already covered a lot of the ground that needs to be covered. And so I don't have any necessarily any statutory authority to oppose. However, I just throw out the heartburn that my client is feeling with regard to continued assessments.
Understand. Staff, do you want to respond to the issue of the $1,000 initial deposit?
Yes, I've had staff time. It's a docket that has a fee attached to it, and that's why we assess that.
Okay, thank you. Questions from the commission? Seeing none, is there a motion? Commissioner Hansen.
Mr. Chairman, in TC-12-133, I move that the commission assess a filing fee not to exceed $100,000 with an initial deposit of $1,000, and that the commission give the executive director authority to enter into necessary consulting contracts, and that the commission grant intervention to AT&T.
Thank you. Discussion on the motions. Seeing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
And Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. Brings us to our last long item. The matter of the request for approval of intercarrier compensation bill and keep amendments to an interconnection agreement in dockets TC-12-135, 136, 137, 138, 139, 40, 141, 142, 143, 144, 145, 146, 147, 148, 149, 150, 151, 152, 153, 154, 155, 156, 157, and 159. Karen.
Thank you. It appears Ms. Rogers may want to say something first.
Go ahead.
Good morning. I just thought maybe it would be helpful to give you a little background on how we proceeded in arriving at these amendments. After the FCC order was issued and it became apparent that we were going to have to amend our interconnection agreements, we felt that perhaps if we did this more on a statewide basis, it would make the process go a little more smoothly. So it was actually LECA that stepped up to the plate and negotiated with AT&T on behalf of the member companies, and so we were able to negotiate these agreements. I think the process did work well. I think that being able to have one contact point here in the state of South Dakota for the members of LECA was a good thing. I would point out that I think that the amendments are ready to be approved. We did respond to staff data requests. There was a question concerning the amendments are not identical, and the reason for that is that some of the LECs have, since the initial agreements were entered into, they have negotiated new agreements, and they are satisfied with the terms of those agreements are not interested in perhaps negotiating a new factor for inter-MTA traffic. Some of the companies may be more interested in doing that. So that's the basic difference. There is also, I think, one company in these amendments that negotiated on their own, but I think used substantially the same language, and that would be James Valley. I think that one's included today. So I'm not here representing that company, but for the rest of the companies, I'm the one that negotiated these amendments. And I'll try and answer any questions you have.
Questions? I want to ask just a very broad question. What is the... For the typical company, what is the revenue impact of this change?
I don't know that I can give you a monetary amount, but it is significant. All of the reciprocal compensation went away as of July 1, and so there is no revenue. That all went to bill and keep, so there's no revenue. For companies that have a very low inter-MTA factor, that's the only revenue that they are now receiving under these agreements, and so it is significant for some of the companies in particular. For those companies that were able to negotiate a new agreement or a new arrangement, some of them are called arrangements, and they have a higher inter-MTA factor, then, you know, it's not quite as significant, but the reciprocal is gone, and so there is an impact.
But you can't give me any dollar figure for any particular company?
I can't. I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah, that's just...
It really varies a lot, because depending on where the company is located,
sure,
it varies on what they're...
Whether they're on the edge or not.
Exactly.
Yep,
right.
Understand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you. Wendy Harper, are any other questions? Commissioner Fegan.
Just a follow-up question to that. Do you have a range of percentage? Is it like 15 to 22% of their revenue? Do you have any type of range like that? Instead of an exact dollar amount, do you have...
You know, I would be speculating. Wendy might have a better idea of that, because I think she probably deals more with the billing of the companies.
We'll get to her in a moment. Yep, thank you. Other questions for Darla? Seeing none, Wendy, would you like to say anything on behalf of your clients?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. This is Wendy Harper with Vantage Point. I am on for dockets 156 and 157, James Valley and Northern Valley. As Darla said, these amendments are very similar to the others, with just a couple differences. You know, and as far as the... amendments are concerned, yes, you know, I'm here for questions that staff may have as well.
Do you have any response to my question or Commissioner Fegan's question?
As far as the percentage of recip comp, no, I do not have a dollar amount in front of me of what that effect was with the FCC rule of ruling the recip comp to bill and keep. You know, we could calculate and get back, but I do not have any numbers in front of me, as Darla had stated as well.
Okay, thank you. Other questions? Seeing none, Mr. Van Camp, do you want to add anything today? Okay, and you don't want to answer my question either, I'm sure. Thank you. Seeing no questions, staff.
Thank you. This is Karen Kramer of staff, and I'm just going to take them all at one time also. The amendments were properly filed, properly executed, and do not appear to contain discriminatory provisions. No comments were filed. Staff recommends the commission approve the amendments to the interconnection agreements.
Questions? Seeing none, is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, move that the Commission approve the amendment to the interconnection agreement for all the dockets you so stated.
Thank you. Discussion on the motion.
You know, just... it's frustrating when our rural cooperatives and our rural telephone companies have to go to a bill and keep, and their revenue is in jeopardy. So then our broadband expansion, of course, probably is in jeopardy too. But it's something that we have to comply with. But as a rural state, we certainly see that it is unfair to our rural consumers.
Other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor will vote aye. Commissioner Hansen?
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan?
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. Motion carries. Announcements. Our next regularly scheduled meeting will take place right here on November 6th. And that's it for announcements. Anything else for the good of the order? Is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I move to adjourn.
All those in favor will vote aye. Commissioner Hansen.
Aye.
Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Nelson votes aye. We are adjourned.